Blog Talk Radio.
Well, aloha, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to PWT Talks NXT. I'm your host, Kelly Wells, and you can find me on social media at Spooky Milk or at SpookyMilk.games. We're talking NXT for my mom's birthday, 2022. That is December 13th. A big show. I was not surprised that they got the title change out of the way quickly, because this is the one that I felt was a foregone conclusion. When they set this up towards the beginning of the show, I thought that this is where I was not surprised, and I was like, they're just going to get this out of the way, and Toxic Attraction, it's probably just time for them to move to the main roster. There are no changes being made. This group is what they are, and I think that's what's going to happen with them. I wouldn't be surprised if one or all three of them were in the Royal Rumble. They're going to need women there, probably. They have strengthened the women's division there, but I think they're probably still in need of a few names, and I think these can be a few of them. But at any rate, folks, that is your main story. There is a new women's champion, Roxanne Perez, who was not even on television when Mandy Rose won the women's championship almost a year ago. Is your new champion. She, a couple of nights ago, won the chance to be in this match by winning the Iron Survivor Challenge, and then tonight wins in 9 minutes and 39 seconds on a very, very busy show of NXT. This had 8 matches on it. 8? That does not happen often. It has happened before, but it is very rare, and I don't think 9 has ever happened, but I would have to really look to make sure. 39 minutes and 24 seconds of wrestling, which is much less than usual. So mostly we got some short matches on this one. At any rate, that's it. New champ. She can wrestle like the Dickens, Nate, but on the mic, she's fine, but she's young. She needs work. It's good that she's in NXT. I think she can anchor this division, but it's good that she is not being called up yet. Nathan, who are you, and what did you think of the main event?
I'm Nate Lindberg. You can follow me on Twitter at Nate Lindberg, and I do the NXT hits and misses. Do have one up for tonight, so you can check that out for the 8 matches that we're here to talk about. Now, as far as I'm aware, 9 matches have not happened, at least in the 3-plus years that you've had to put up with me. So there's that. I can't believe it's been that long either. But
that is actually what I was going to say. There is no way 3-plus years have happened of me knowing you, Nate.
I know, but it had 2019. It's been a long time. Right. So Roxanne Perez is the new NXT Women's Champion, and that's awesome. We saw it coming. We kind of talked about it a little bit. I thought maybe potentially Indy Hartwell might win the Iron Survivor Challenge and be put in the spot, but I was a little bit wrong. I'm fine with that. But she was my next pick anyway. The story made a lot of sense, coming into it. I mean, it basically handpicked to be the NXT Women's Champion. I think it's well deserved. Booker T also thinks it's well deserved, considering he was going off the walls tonight on commentary. But at the same time, I think it was in a way like a good move. Kind of like take somebody that's in a role of, authority for the audience anyway. I hate to say he's in a role of authority, but you know what I mean? Take somebody that's in a role of authority and kind of like pumps up that champion, gives her some credibility. So I think that was a decent call, even if it was a little over the top and annoying at times. What I didn't necessarily expect was for the title switch to happen tonight. I thought at the beginning of the show, you know, which by the way, I did like the way they opened the show tonight where they had both of the Iron Survivor challengers come out. And then we also saw both of the champions in the main event, but they did it, or sorry, in the opening act or opening segment rather, but they did it in a way that like, it seemed just cooler than people coming out one after another anyway. What I didn't expect was when the match was made at the beginning of the show, the title switch to happen. I figured there'd be some sort of a finish tonight where Toxic Attraction costs her the title, but it was happened in such a way where she's able to get a rematch at New Year's Evil or something like that. I didn't necessarily expect it to happen tonight. So it was a pleasant surprise to see it happen on NXT TV. Now that I'm actually here, I don't know if have we ever seen the women's title switch hands on NXT TV before. I'd have to look that up.
Certainly it probably has, if you go way back. NXT 8 years back, the answer is no. I think they always finish that on a major. Well, you can't say change hands for the first one. The first time it did happen on NXT TV, but they had never had a takeover.
Yeah,
there
wasn't
point.
A takeover.
So
it did actually. Yeah, Rhea Ripley.
Yeah. Tom was at that show, and everybody
went into the audience. He went into the ring.
They went into the ring, and everybody held her up. It has happened, but it is apparently an extreme rarity.
It is. It's a very. It is an extreme rarity because it's only happened once since NXT TakeOver became a thing, and they had their big shows. At the end of their storylines and everything. So yeah, that's kind of cool, especially for the fans to see, big title switch happen on TV, especially ending Mandy Rose 413 day reign, I believe is what Vic Joseph said, as champion. So, overall I'm okay with it. This reign needed to end, between her and Bron Breakker's reign. I do think Bron Breakker's was a little bit more stale than Mandy Rose's. But they were both stale. One of them needed to change just to kind of shake things up in the main event scene for either the men or the women. Here we are. I think Bron Breakker's he's obviously going to be the next one to lose it. As far as I hope, kind of shake that division up as well. But, Roxy, new NXT Women's Champion, thumbs up.
Yeah. On the topic of which one had the more stale reign, I think by far that is Braun. Braun has typically had the better matches. Part of that is opponent. Part of that is himself. He is a better wrestler than Mandy. Mandy's fine. And Braun's only fine. I think they can both be valuable pieces. But despite the length of time that they held these championships, I genuinely don't see either as a long-term champion on the main roster. I'm not sure I see Braun as a short-term champion on the main roster. Yeah. I can see him in the mix for mid-card championship gold. It just seems like there's something that isn't there.
Something's not clicking.
Yeah, and it's lazy to just say that without going any further, but I don't know exactly what that thing is. He's not – on the mic, he can get things across, but he's not killing it out there on the mic by any means. He's Steinering on the mic, that's for sure. In the ring, he's – a good power wrestler who could be a world champion 20 years ago, 25 years ago. But I don't know if that's true now. I think it's probably not.
I don't think
not. Yeah.
I don't think his attire helps him out either. I mean, obviously it's a throwback to his dad and everything like that. But when he debuted, that was also the new NXT, right? I mean, everything was like tie-dye and all these crazy colors and stuff. And he still goes to that, you know, he still does the, you know, the jean jacket and, you know, wear the jeans and everything like that. I feel like if he tries to get out of the 90s and like, you know, update his look a little bit and maybe give himself a little bit of an edge, a little bit more of a mean streak, not enough to be a heel, but, you know, kind of more of a, just a cool face, something. The first person that comes to my mind is The Rock. I'm not saying to be, he has nowhere near the charisma to be The Rock, but you know what I mean? Just a little bit of a more cool baby face. And I think he'd be able to latch on, or the fans would be able to latch on to him a little bit more. I know I would be. But he just kind of seems so cartoonish in so many ways. It's just like you said, he would have been a great champion 20, 25, 30 years ago, but not in 2022. It just seems outdated.
Yeah. I kind of have him in this category with, Brock, but Brock comes in with this cachet of being an actual legitimate national champion wrestler and UFC champion fighter. So he doesn't have that. He doesn't have that to fall back on, even though talent wise and on the mic wise, he's similar to Brock. He doesn't have the presence of Brock, but
he also doesn't have the comedic timing and things like that. Brock
does
too.
Right.
Like, Even when Brock's a heel, he knows what to do, when to do it. Whereas, you know, Braun, I mean, maybe Braun, that'll happen in time. I'm sure Brock didn't know that back in 2000.
Oh, God, he did not.
Or, you know, that was well before I was analyzing wrestling, but, you know, when he debuted. But, like, you know, I think maybe in time he could develop those skills, considering the gene pool. Maybe. I don't know. But that's one of the biggest differences between him and Brock for me is like, cause I totally see what you're saying with the comparison there, but like Brock is just so wrestling smart. Whereas Braun, even though I'm sure he has wrestling smarts. They just haven't quite developed fully yet.
Well, that was more time than I thought we'd spend on old Braun.
Because we were talking about the main event tonight too. It had nothing to even do with Brock Lesnar, and here we are.
Yeah, almost everyone on the roster was in a match tonight, but we talked a lot about somebody who wasn't. Not almost everybody, but you know what we're saying. You can call us at...
we saw Ike Manjiro. It was almost everybody, man.
That's true. 515-605-9345, or email us at peteryourtorchnxt@gmail.com. We're going to go ahead and we're going to talk to Ryan from Cumberland. Ryan, if you can hear us, go ahead.
I can hear you.
All right. Tonight, lots of stuff going on the show. What do you want to talk to us about?
I got a question on Roxanne Perez for you. What are the odds you think she could actually team with Booker T, considering he's wrestling this weekend? I believe it's on Sunday, and he's wrestled, I think, once before also this year also, and it seems like he's getting really excited. So could that be like the perfect like farewell match for him on a big stage?
I had not thought about that, but we know now that they do these kind of things, even if they are only meant for small audiences. For instance, Jamie Noble just wrestled his last match on a house show and tore it up because he's Jamie Noble. He's awesome. He was really, really good in the ring. I loved him. He was underloved, but he was never underloved by me. I was a big Jamie Noble fan. So they could definitely do something like that with him. I would say Booker is figured in some way. And that is because of the moment that he shared with Grayson Waller on Saturday night. Was it Saturday? And then tonight, he once again, there was a reference And so it was perfect because he's minimizing the efforts of Roxanne Perez as he's trying to put himself over and pretending she's not even in the ring. And once again, refers to Booker. And we see him in the background. They made sure to do a wide shot, so we got him in the background. They didn't hit us over the head with it. But I think this is going somewhere. And I don't know that I think that that's a mixed tag, but I also don't not think it's a mixed tag. The question is, who is Waller's partner here? I don't think it matters. I think probably if they were going to do this two-on-two, it would be Cora Jade, because Cora Jade will definitely come knocking now that her old dance partner is the champion. I absolutely could see a Booker and Roxanne versus Waller and Jade match where Booker doesn't have to do much. He will definitely do the spin-a-rooney. He'll do the axe kick and maybe the 110th Street Slam. That's what they called it in WCW. I don't remember if they called it that in the WWE. But I could see that happening. Nate.
Was that his finisher?
In C-Dub, it was.
They called it the bookend in WWE.
Oh, yeah, right. It was the, yeah, same move. Sure, sure, sure.
Same thing, but yep. So I hadn't thought about Booker T, like, in terms of, a match with Roxanne Perez, and, I mean, literally until Ryan brought it up. It would make sense. Like, you know, he's obviously still active with his own promotion here and there. He's got a match coming up. So as long as he could pass the WWE, physical and ring tests and whatever he's got to pass to actually have a match in the WWE, not his own promotion where he makes that decision if he can wrestle or not. As long as he can do that, I mean, why not? Like, Booker T, beloved wrestler, maybe not so much on the mic, on commentary, but beloved wrestler. I'd love to see him get in the ring, tear it up a bit. I mean, NXT lately has been bringing a lot more legends in, for backstage segments and stuff. But, I mean, we saw Lundra Blaze, X-Pac and Molly Holly and, and Road Dogg. Yeah. So, yeah, we've seen a few people recently. Why not have one come back to wrestle? We have the New Day here right now. So it's not necessarily, it's developmental, but by the same token, I think part of developmental should be getting some time with some older talent, more seasoned talent, I guess is a better way to put it. And kind of learn from them rather than just, constantly wrestling their peers. So I feel like you're going to learn, a lot more from somebody that has been doing it for a lot longer in the ring than, somebody that, is learning with you. I'd be for it. I don't know. Like you said, I don't know if it would be a mixed tag. I'm not saying it is. I'm not saying it wouldn't be. But I didn't really think about him getting put into an angle or a story here. I just kind of figured that, a lot of people knew she came from, ROW anyway. And they had talked about her and Booker T on NXT TV. So I kind of just figured like it was him trying to give her some credibility, but yeah, maybe there was something there.
Ryan, go ahead.
Heavy question on the New Day. Do you have a prediction on how long their title reign will be able to end next week, or could it possibly be like a Mandy Rose ever 1 year title reign?
God, I hope so.
No, there's no chance of that. It would be fun, but they're not getting paid what they're getting paid to be NXT tag team champions. Unless they are going a different way and deciding maybe they could do something there, have a long reign, continue to bring eyeballs to the show. And then absence makes the heart grow fonder on the main roster, and they bring them there. I still don't think that's what they're going to do. I don't. I don't think that that X and Kofi would want that. I think that they will probably want to be on the main roster and going around the country doing what they do. And they will recognize their value in doing so. But if nobody's going to beat the Usos yet, then you might as well have New Day go down in NXT and do this for a little while. I will say no way they get near the number of days that Mandy Rose did. My instinct was to say that this will be a very short reign. I said Indus Share a couple of days ago as the ones who dethroned them. I'm going to stick with that. But they've thrown us such a curveball with New Day being here at all that that with each passing hour, I have less confidence in my own pick, Nate.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be nearly a Mandy Rose length, you know, run with the title. But I think it's going to go one of two ways. They're either going to drop it to Briggs and Jensen. Wow, it's actually been a while since I've done that. They're either going to drop it to them, you know, in this match, or they'll drop it back to Pretty Deadly, you know, in really short order. Or hell, they'll just drop it to somebody in short order, you know, to get them back up to the main roster and whatnot. Just, you know, so they could say now they're Triple Crown champion and yada, yada. Or it's going to last maybe till Stand and Deliver, you know, a WrestleMania season. And because, like, I don't think they're going to keep the New Day off of the WrestleMania card. Because they're the New Day and they deserve to get that payday, but B, they're also a draw. So I don't think they'd be off the card. But I could also see them, you know, pulling double duty and doing a match at Stand and Deliver and then also having a match maybe, you know, the following night at, you know, night two of WrestleMania or something like that. That could certainly work, or hell, maybe they host WrestleMania. Well, actually, no, this isn't Hollywood. Maybe I don't think that would be that this time. But yeah, that's kind of my idea, my prediction anyway. It's either going to be, you know, the next like 2 or 3, 4 weeks that they, you know, they lose the title, or they'll probably be around, you know, for another few months till we hit Stand and Deliver.
Ryan, go ahead.
I have a question on the Creed brothers. They've been doing a lot of singles matches lately. I know this probably won't be in NXT, but could they be like the next Bret and Owen, where we see like a rivalry between the two brothers on the main roster someday?
I damn well hope so. This could be really fun if they get there at some point. I don't want it to happen soon. And ideally, they will give us something between these two where I don't want to see it at all until all of a sudden Owen's getting interviewed and then he gets attacked by Razor Ramon. Brett makes the save. All of a sudden we have the story just like slowly coming into place where one is the savior. In this case, Brutus is kind of the savior. He did, Julius defended Brutus's career. And now Brutus wants to defend Julius. It would be way, way too early for these guys to sell this story in NXT. They're just too good when they're together. I love their basement lariats. I love pretty much everything about these guys. I love Brutus's shirt with the Brutus bomb. I do want it. So if you fair listener want to order me that shirt, please do so. Yeah, this is something that could definitely happen, and it's something that could actually work. We have seen brother feuds not work, like with the Hardys. Almost every time that they tried the Hardys against each other, it was kind of a flop. I don't know why that is. I don't know why some of them work and some don't. With Brett and Owen, it worked so well that at one point, I remember, oh boy, this is embarrassing, but at one point, a long time ago, I used to go to the Graham Cawthon site that had all the matches that had ever happened. He would literally update it with every show. And I noted that at one point, other than pay-per-views, Brett and Owen wrestled each other something like 110 times in a row. It was mostly house shows, a couple of pay-per-views, and each guy obviously had some other TV stuff that they were involved in. But they wrestled each other a very large number of times in a row. And I just, every time that they did wrestle that we saw, it was magical. So I wouldn't be against that if these guys can do it. But I'm putting the cart way ahead of the horse here. And let's just get these guys established as one of the great tag teams first, Nate.
I don't think I could say it better myself. I would love to see that feud happen, but there's a lot of development that needs to happen for both of them first, with their character, as well as, their mic work, not necessarily in the ring, but, they've got a long way to go first before I think they'd be able to hold their own in a decent singles feud, especially with that many eyeballs on them on the main roster. I think if it was to happen either down in NXT or, shortly into their main roster run, I think it would probably be a flop. I don't think they'd have what it takes. And this isn't a knock on them. I just don't think they'd have what it takes at that particular point in their careers to be able to capture an audience to have a memorable feud. Exactly like what Kelly's saying, I'd like to see it happen a few years down the line. Let them be established as a powerhouse tag team on the main roster. Then have them branch off, have a feud, keep them singles, and then kind of have them do the Edge and Christian thing where they, come together every once in a while and split off and come together and split off, So that's what I got to say about that.
JD McDonagh did defeat Brutus Creed in 418 tonight. We won't belabor that because we kind of covered it, but okay, Ryan, if you got one more, go ahead.
Final question with Vince McMahon trending, because supposedly he may make a comeback depending on what the board says, and who knows, but is there any talk of an NXT 3.0 if this were to happen?
I don't know what would happen with NXT were Vince to take over again. I shudder to think NXT is one of the things that has changed the least since Vince left. Honestly, it seems like there has not been a massive change in personnel, not a massive change in the way that they present their show. It's definitely it is still a developmental show, which it was when it was rebranded NXT 2.0. Maybe they'd slap that 2.0 on there again. I don't know. I don't think they need to, because they took the 2.0 off there and they just did the gold and white thing that they've done. But that just seems kind of like lip service, because it doesn't seem like they've really changed a lot since then. They haven't gone back to the branding of Black and Gold and what that was and who that was. And with each passing week, that seems so far in the past, because that talent's just not there anymore. I don't think that Vince has that obvious. There's a path for him to come back, but it could be really, really disastrous for the company if he did, just because of everything that's going on with him. And a couple of things came out about him today. So it's not exactly, I just don't think it'll happen. It can, I just don't think it will. And it doesn't matter how many people on Twitter say, well, it is Vince. And yeah, it is. I get what you're saying, but I think that he crossed a bridge too far. And I do indeed hope that is the case also, because I don't need him back. Nate?
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel about it. Don't need him back either. Appreciate what you did for the wrestling industry, but, hey, goodbye. Is the best way I can put it in Vince's own language. I think there's definitely a path for him to come back, but like you said, I think it would be disastrous in a few different ways. PR wise, I mean, I feel like a lot of fans would be vocal about it, not wanting him to be back in that spot for a few reasons. Because of what he did and you know, the misogyny and all of that, but also you've got the random backstage rules and everything. Like, you know, you keep reading about how the morale changed because you don't have to, you know, not sneeze in the boardroom because Vince hates sneezing. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of just kind of a lot of that stupid tension that was in the company has been kind of released. Why would you, to again use Vince's own words, inject your company with a poison, right? I don't know. I don't think it would be good for, you know, there for those two reasons. But then a third reason, there's been a lot of talent that's come back since Vince left, and it's been, I mean not that I've been in those discussions or anything like that, but it's seemingly because Vince is gone, you know, that some talent has come back. I mean, Bray Wyatt, and a few others. So what happens to those guys? You know, all of a sudden you've got some of these top talents came back. What happens at that point? You know, I don't know. Like, I don't think it should happen. I think the company is going, at least creatively, in a great direction right now. Raw and SmackDown are somewhat entertaining again. Keep it going and just, I don't know, let him be on the board of directors or something and have something to do with the company, but if you want, but not at all in the capacity that he was in.
All right. We thank you, Ryan. As always, we are going to go to 478. I believe that is Sean Covington, but I can be told otherwise. I've been told otherwise. That's Darrell. No, it's Darrell. Yes. Oh, man. You know what? I didn't believe it was Sean Covington. I just knew that he was going to call us later. And then as soon as I said it, I realized the F up. But there we are.
Darrell, you can hit him. Oh. I give you permission.
Well, thankfully, 8 states away or so is Georgia from Minnesota. So we are good here. Darrell, good to talk to you. And what'd you think?
Oh, how you doing? It's good to talk to you as well. Pretty interesting show. That was pretty interesting show. I didn't get to hear the first part of what you guys were talking about. So if I start asking a question that something that y'all talk about, just tell me to go back and listen to the first few minutes. And then I'm cool and I change it up. But, very interesting show. I want to start out with, I think, the biggest news that was happening on this show was the refresh and the revival of, hopefully, with all hands on deck with Roxanne Perez. And I like what they did with her tonight. I like how they tried to give her that fighting spirit and just really crank her to the moon tonight and not having to wait till the New Year's Eve event and stuff like that. which without gonna have this match on now, they better be building up the excitement to that card. You know what the main event gonna be, what I think it's gonna be. But anyway, but I like the story that they told. I like everything that they was trying to do with her tonight. I kind of like the beginning back and forth with her and Grayson Waller, and then bringing Braun out there and stuff like that, which they keep trying to add him into a meaningful story where people care about, so they can make them care about him. But that's another. I digress. But I don't know if y'all spoken that completely, but what do you guys think? And is she now the hope that they have, maybe I say that I have, as, like I said, she's the refresh and hopefully the revival of that old NXT women's division that they used to have, especially with some people that they got coming in the pipeline with that. The Surfer Girl, I don't know her name right now, but I will next time. Somebody like her.
Saul Ruka. Ruka.
Saul Ruka, yeah, okay. And that amazing move that she did, but that's anything else. What do you guys think about that?
So we covered Roxanne some, but we didn't really talk about the shine that she was given throughout the show. That early segment I thought was really, really well conceived, where she tried to have her moment and then Grayson tried to steal it away from her. It's just really, really perfect for both of them, and to have her fight back against Waller and have that moment, I thought was a really nice touch. Yeah, I really like everything they're trying to do with Roxy. And as a wrestler, she can hold her own, no doubt. But she, who she reminds me of is very early Bayley, where the wrestling's there pretty much right away. And on the mic, you know, and on character-wise, you know what they're trying to do with her. But there's just a – there's just – I don't know if it's a – it doesn't quite seem real. It's not quite coming together on a – she's not connecting personally as well yet. Now, Bayley figured that out in a really, really short amount of time. And that hasn't happened with Roxy yet. But I think it can. And certainly as champion, they're going to give her a lot of chances to get to that point. So I like everything they did with her as well. That segment with Grayson Waller, then Bron Breakker, then Mandy Rose, all to set up the match tonight. I did say earlier, I thought they would get this out of the way early, and maybe even as early as tonight. I wouldn't have bet money on that, but I wasn't surprised that they did this. And I hope, I'll say this, I hope that's not the first time that I see her and Grayson Waller have a little bit of a war of words, because that can only help her development, Nate.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, Grayson Waller is probably one of the best talkers in NXT. Offhand, I can't really think of anybody that holds a candle to him. But Carmelo Hayes. But, you know, Grayson Waller is like, if you're going to learn from somebody, you know, one of your peers, he's certainly somebody to do it with. You know, I kind of already talked about some of this stuff earlier tonight, but you know, one of the biggest things for me, I didn't think that they would actually pull the trigger on the title switch tonight. I saw the title switch coming, but I figured there'd be some sort of a dusty finish or, you know, something that went on tonight that prevented the title switch from happening, and then would get the title, you know, a rematch at New Year's Evil. We still may get a rematch at New Year's Evil, just with the roles reversed here, because I can certainly see Mandy wanting to, you know, lay claim to the title once again. But yeah, for the most part, the majority of my thoughts I'd already kind of talked about at the beginning of the show.
All right, go ahead, Darrell.
And I understand, Kevin, what you say she missing. She missing that Sasha Banks. Bayley had Sasha. And Bayley got super hot after that. First that when Becky Lynch started changing and becoming semi-early into the Becky that we seen that went to SmackDown first before she became the man, when she came out there with the, and she dropped the leprechaun stuff when she turned on Bayley, and then she ran, and then Bayley ran into Sasha, and that would help got her over to that NXT crowd, if I'm not mistaken, if I'm remembering how all that went together. But yeah, she missing that Sasha.
Yeah,
Bank.
I think you are. Yep. Mm-hmm.
So she can get that Sasha Bank. If they can find her a Sasha, the playoff of that, that'll do wonders. Now, okay. Now, another going with the theme that I'm having tonight with a refresher and revival of certain things is the two tag team titles, the women and the men. I see they trying to set up these three ways and making aggressive and things like that. And try to spice things up and get some type of flavor back into these two, at least one of the divisions that used to have it, which were the men, where sometimes those used to be the best matches and best stories on the card. And see, somebody like me, I don't always have to have a great match if it's a good story. Because I feel like a great story beats a great match all the time, because it's just what sometimes a great match do down the long term to characters and people that might take them off the TV for a while. But by having these three ways, these wild brawls, they're doing the same thing with them, but each one is kind of a little different. Like with the women, you have two of the teams respect each other. One of the teams is a longer running who trying to claim it back. The other one is, guess they're trying to make a team feel disrespected with Pretty Deadly, feel disrespected. You have a team from the main roster that's coming in and trying, I guess, staying off main roster TV so they can come back maybe and be refreshed. And then you have a team that they didn't have doing anything that was in the title race that a lot of the fans like in a certain type of way as well. So each title has two different things, but I think they're refreshing and trying to get that spice back into it. What do you guys think about those two titles? And do you see this refresher revival that they trying to do, or am I just picking up on something that not really happening?
It's wild that both these things are happening at the same time. I think that is maybe a coincidence. With New Day, it's happening because they realize the money and the eyeballs that New Day can bring to this brand. There's no doubt that can happen. And, of course, they came back with such a great match. To have them be in a three-way with Pretty Deadly and Briggs and Jensen seems like kind of an appetizer. I think that New Day would win that three-way, and I think that they would get, I said it was going to be Indushare, and I'm sticking to that. It doesn't matter what they show me. I've got to stick with that prediction here. I don't think that this is an attempt to refresh both divisions. Well, maybe it is, but the fact that it's happening at the same time is immaterial. I think that part is coincidental. So with the women, I don't know. I like Kayden and Katana. I think there's something forgettable about them. I'm don't take this for me being critical of them, because I think a lot of their work really works. I think Katana's fine. I think Kayden is wonderful. And I think as a team, it's working out. But there is something, and I think it's presentation. I think it's them not giving us enough of them or not trusting them enough in the role to really pop. Yeah, I don't know whether to expect something big with Ivy Nile, Tatum Paxley, Gigi Dolan, and JC Jane. Probably so. And I think that the champs continue to win here, but I will just say it's nice that the tag divisions continue to get shine on this show. And I'm glad you brought up the days where the men's tag team championships would be just on a constant basis. They would have show stealing potential, and they would convert on just about every takeover, because we haven't reached that point yet. 8 years back, Tom and I on our podcast, but we are about to get to the point where you can just about set your watch to the tag team championships being the best match on that takeover, or being the most emotional, being the most whatever it is. But yes, I will try not to proselytize about that too much. I'll do that. I'll save that for my other podcast, Nate.
So is this a refresh for both of both the tag divisions? My headset died. I had to switch from one to the other.
Yeah. He's just wondering if there's a reset here as they're both getting into seemingly triple threat type situations.
I mean, I didn't really think about it as a refresh per se. But, you know, perhaps that's what they're doing with the New Day. I kind of feel like it's, you know, like you mentioned earlier, you know, the Usos have been in, you know, they've hogged both tag team titles for quite a while now. And if they're going to for, you know, any like more length of time, why not bring the New Day down to NXT? You know, New Day, we talked about this a little bit on Saturday on the VIP roundtable. But New Day has felt like they've been, you know, stale on the main roster for a little while. Especially with Big E. Big E brings a lot to their act, and you know, without him, at least for me, they've kind of felt a little bit, I don't want to say less than, but just, you know, a little stale, I guess. So bringing them down to NXT, have them doing something a little bit different, but it's also, you know, you're getting them in front of a crowd that's not expecting them. So if they're going to seem like a bigger deal, just accomplish something that nobody else has accomplished, you know, the Triple Crown. And then Kofi, with now being a Triple Crown tag and singles champion, the only one ever, which I think is fantastic. I think that's really more why New Day is down there, is really just, you know, to give them something to do, and also to kind of, I mean, I guess freshen up the tag division a little bit. Yeah, because there hasn't been, you know, I mean, we've got the Creed brothers, we've got Pretty Deadly, there's Briggs and Jensen. But I mean, there's only a handful of tag teams, and a lot of them are already, you know, mixed up in other stories. So kind of like we were wondering who the heck Pretty Deadly was going to be, you know, who their next opponents are going to be. New Day kind of made sense. As far as the women, you know, I think it's a little bit of a shakeup. You know, as I think I did hear Kelly say something about, you know, Ivy Nile and Tatum Paxley, they're still a bit of an unknown. We're not sure, you know, exactly where they're going to go and how they're going to develop. So far, I like what I see, and I like both in the ring and, you know, their mic work and their character development. But, you know, are they going to connect with the crowd? Are they going to get over? And that's the question. I don't know. I hope so. And I think there's the potential there, but I think we need to see a lot more character development and just kind of more TV time for the two of them, Ivy Nile and Tatum Paxley, before they are, you know, kind of seen as a more credible tag team. But yeah, those are kind of my thoughts on the divisions.
Darrell, go ahead.
And yes, I hope they do rebuild that tag team division. And I wouldn't mind if New Day stay here all the way to Vengeance and then they leave and go back in February because, if I'm not mistaken, and Kelly, you might could correct me, but this will, I don't mind even if they trade the titles and Pretty Deadly win it back, because that will remind me of in the American Apple versus the Revival feud. I think that went 3 takeovers, if I'm not mistaken. I know they wrestled at Dallas and then the end pay-per-view takeover, and I think another one where they had a 2 out of 3 match. So,
I'm definitely looking forward to seeing if that's correct. I think that that's something like correct, but I'm very much looking forward to it in 8 years back.
Yeah, and that's the refresh because, if I'm not mistaken, that's when you start seeing a lot of that great tag team work, starting with the Alphas, because the Alphas were coming into a story into the first tag team match with the Revival, where Jason Jordan was finally learning to accept, trying to accept Chad Gable. He, after that match, and I think they lost, he accepted him, and then they went into the next one. They won, and then they had the 2 out of 3, and boom, and stuff started coming out. Then you had all the other tag teams that started getting into it, and that's how I want to see it, and that's how I want to see it go. Because those are things that I miss, and that's the refresher and stuff that I want to start seeing in the with all this and stuff, because that was brought me back into NXT, and I feel like they could go. Now, my last thing for this, and I want to see how they're going to build up this Grayson Waller and Braun match that's going to happen at New Year's Eve. And I'm happy that it's happening then, because I don't think Braun's gonna lose. But I need some interest spiced up into this men's heavyweight title. Grayson Waller, he's a great communicator. To me, he's like a Miz to a point, but not like the Miz all the way, because he more of the I take the cheap heat shots and stuff when he talked and some of the stuff. And, yeah, the Miz used that, but I think some people missed the gift of the Miz and stuff, why he was able to stay so long, especially why you were able to get a talking smack promo like he cut, which I don't think I can get from a Grayson Waller. But just something about feuds with Braun that I'm just not into and stuff, because he's boring. I said like that, he's boring. And I feel like this is going to be boring because he's boring, he don't add much, and I'm not the biggest Grayson Waller fan. I respect him for what he do, but to me, with the cheap heat and stuff, he don't get me into things. I'm hoping they can get through this and have another contenders match, and they keep it mellow there long enough until you build to the real match that should happen on Vengeance Day, which should be Melo versus Braun. Two guys who y'all done built up around the same time. I think Melo came in a little bit first before they started bringing in Braun. And these two guys who haven't really touched in a one-on-one type of match or any two-minute type of matches, and should fight for the top of the NXT, and we can really see what Braun can do. But what do you guys think about that? What are you guys thinking about them positioning that match at New Year's Eve? And the second part, what I said about Braun and Melo, what do you guys think about that as a whole?
We think it was always Darrell. I will say, okay, so as far as the question of Melo here, it seemed like something that could have been inevitable, but just to put it bluntly, Melo's ready to go up, and Braun is not. If Braun went up now, it still feels like they'd be throwing him to the wolves. I don't know what they're waiting for, because it doesn't seem like a whole lot is changing in that act, but I also don't know that it's time to move him up. Whereas with Melo, you could just move him up right now. And I saw people tweeting like there was something about this week's appearance with him and Trick that felt like they were being de-emphasized. And I'm like, well, they're being de-emphasized on NXT, but I don't think that that is. I think that that's everything to do with the fact that maybe they'll just do one more job on the way out and then they'll be on their way up. That's what I think of the Melo situation. I don't think we're going to get Melo and Braun for the championship as much as Melo would be one of the kind of guys to beat him for it. I actually like Grayson more as a character to beat him for it. And I mentioned this on the podcast a few nights ago because they've positioned Braun as this world beater to the point where it almost needs to be somebody who really, really cheats and is really dastardly and is a real bastard who takes him down. That is why I think Grayson is the kind of character that can actually take this championship off of Braun. So is Melo, but refer back to what I said about the fact that I think Melo is probably not long for this brand. So I think that is what I am meant to cover on this particular question. I still don't get excited about Braun Breaker matches. I want to, and I have the proper amount of interest given that the belt gives me a certain amount of interest, period. But I just, it's been quite a while since I really got psyched about what that championship was doing. It is almost impossible for me to believe that the last champion in NXT was Tommaso Ciampa. That is true, but it's very hard for me to believe that he was only one champion ago. Nate.
Button strikes again. Wow, that is actually surprising. Like, I know you're right, but like, I hadn't thought about that. Tommaso Ciampa was the last person to hold that title. I can't say I disagree with the thing that you said. Melo's ready to go up. Him and Trick, if they're being de-emphasized on NXT, it's because they're going to get called up. It's inevitable at this point. Unless something shifts and they put Melo into a program with Breaker, which I don't see happening right now, he really does not belong down in NXT anymore. He needs to go to the main roster and flourish up there. He's going to be a big star up there. I'd be very surprised if he's not. That's kind of where I am there. With Grayson Waller, I'm much higher on Grayson Waller than Darrell seems to be. I think he's like, I love the heel, like, there's a word I want to use and I'm not going to use it because I haven't sworn yet on the podcast. At least tonight. So,
chicken crap. Is that where we're going?
That's where I was going. I love it. I think he can do, he's like, perfect at that particular role. And I actually disagree. I think we could get like a talking smack Miz level type promo out of Grayson Waller. Maybe not now, but eventually. Because he has that natural flow to him. I feel like he can probably just shift on the fly and cut up like an old school promo that you don't have to memorize or actually have, you know, bullet points for or whatever. I feel like he could pull that off. So Grayson Waller versus Braun Breaker is a little bit more intriguing to me than most Braun Breaker matches up to this point. You know, as Darrell said earlier tonight, Bayley needed a Sasha. I'm not saying that Grayson Waller is going to be the Sasha to Braun Breaker's Bayley, but if anybody can do it in NXT, especially on the mic to get people hyped for the match, not necessarily for the match itself. I still think it's going to be one of Braun's better matches because Grayson, he's pretty solid in the ring. But at least to get him hyped, get people hyped for the match itself. You know, I think Grayson Waller might be able to. He has a decent chance to pull something out of Bron Breakker to get him a little bit more. To give him a couple more dimensions, I guess, you know, because like I said, like we were talking about earlier, there's something there that's not clicking. I kind of think it's all of the 90s references and his attire and all of that. But yeah, that's kind of where I, it's kind of how I feel about all of, you know, the main event scene right now.
You can email us at pwtorchnxt@gmail.com. This is from Brian Alston. Hello, friends. I wanted to let you know how much I enjoyed your post-deadline roundtable audio show. Good takes. Overall, deadline was great, PLE. I'll admit I was confused with the Iron Survivor Challenge rules, but once the women's match got going, I quickly caught on. Put me in the minority of liking the diner and fishing segments between Bron Breakker and Apollo Crews. Something totally different. No yelling, no sneak attacks. I'm going to interject here. I actually didn't mind them either. I joked about the fact that it was such a weird way to get a main event story going, but I didn't dislike it. It just seemed like when the Iron Survivor Challenges were so big, this seemed pretty small in comparison. My deadline standout was Grayson Waller. He understood he should tap out to Carmelo Hayes so he could get back into the match. And once he realized he could win, played perfect defense by not getting pinned and ensuring no one else got pinned. I agree with the crew. Waller is going to be the next Miz. Excellent work, Grayson. Don't forget to listen to the VIP exclusive Torch podcast, NXT 8 years back this Saturday, where Kelly and Tom Stout covered the December 18th, 2014 edition of NXT post takeover R Evolution. Will Kevin Owens reveal the reason why he attacked his best friend Sami Zayn? Kelly and Tom also talk about movies. This week, they'll go back in time to 1991. And while recording the podcast, they will enjoy fava beans and a nice candy. Gracias, Brian Alston. Anything on that? Email Nate.
And the mute button strikes yet again. All right. So the deadline, I feel like deadline was a great PLE. You know, we talked about it quite a bit on the VIP roundtable. Well, obviously talked about it quite a bit because that's why we were sitting around a virtual roundtable, was because of that PLE. Let's see. The standout Grayson Waller. Yeah, and there's nothing, not a whole heck of a lot that I want to touch on that we already haven't touched on. Not really like questions. There are a lot of statements. Appreciate it as always, Brian. Thank you for the kind words about the VIP roundtable, and we'll go from there.
This one's from Kevin Catani. Salutations, gents. Holy geez, I've never been more happy to say and new. I'm so happy for Roxanne and hope her reign is as exciting and productive one. Other than that, I'm always happy to have the New Day on my TV, and I hope they are able to make a few teams while they are down there. Well, he made a mistake in typing. I'll have to make sense of this. they will have the biggest impact on in terms of rub?
Who do you think will have the biggest impact on terms of who will? Wow. Who do you think will have the biggest impact on in terms of rub? Yeah. Wow. He did.
You're killing it, Nate. I'm glad that you jumped in there.
Yep. I'm here to help.
Other than that, my other question focuses on the women's division. With all of the activity happening away from the major titles, what do you all make of it? Who are the next two or three women to emerge out of that group that we'll be talking about in the next 4 to 6 months? Thanks as always. Go VIP and listen to 8YB. Office hours are over. The professor, Kevin P. Catani, PhD. The big one's going to be Cora Jade. She is not ready for the main event, main roster, I don't think, but she has a built-in storyline with Roxanne Perez that will almost certainly get going right away. Zoe Stark, I don't know what to expect about what they're going to do with Zoe Stark, but she is a good big bad for a tiny babyface champion. So she could be figured in as well if she's not going to be somewhat fast-tracked to the main roster. And I don't think she is because of Nikita Lyons and that that feud going on there. With Nikita herself, I don't know what to say because she is clearly figured in to some degree, but she is also clearly not good. So I don't know what to say about whether where she's going to be. I think that Shawn Michaels probably wants to figure her in. I don't think that he should do so. Elektra Lopez could also be a dark horse to emerge out of that division, but given the very slow, she wasn't quick to improve. It seems like she's kind of gotten there, but it took a while. So I think that we could see a little bit more out of Elektra now, but they're putting her in this feud with Indy to see probably in both cases of these two women who will sink and who will swim, or if they'll both swim, and that would be lovely because they've put a lot of effort into both of them, and hopefully one of them or both will pan out. Nate?
So in terms of the New Day, who I think they're going to, impact the most, kind of give a bit of a rub to, I'm hoping it's Indy Share. I'm with Kelly on this one. I really hope it's Indy Share that actually, gets the rub from the New Day, walks away with the NXT tag team titles and holds them for a little bit. Being that's the way they're going with the current direction, I don't know if that's the way they're going to go. But I'm going to keep my fingers crossed anyway. So that's kind of who I'm going to say, for the New Day anyway. With the women's division, in about 4 to 6 months, I picked out a couple. I've actually have four names who we could potentially be talking about. Cora Jade was on the top of my list. And Kiana James, she's clearly in been in a lot of kind of high profile spots in the last handful of months, including in the Iron Survivor Challenge. And she actually had a pretty good showing in the Iron Survivor Challenge as well. So I feel like they see something in her. Isla Dawn is also somebody that I think we'll be talking about a little bit more in 4 to 6 months. She's obviously just kind of debuted in NXT here. She's won her first, I don't know if it's the first feud, if they're going to continue with the Alba Fire or not, or if it was just her first match so far, but she's, she's won. And I was on the round table. I feel like she could probably just kind of slot into Alba Fire's spot if Alba Fire was to get called up. You're talking earlier about them needing to fill out the Royal Rumble with women. So that is a good possibility there too, of Alba Fire, potentially debuting at the Royal Rumble, for a call up, that spitball in there. But I feel like Isla Dawn, even though she's not a heel, technically, Alba Fire is a face and Isla Dawn is a heel. So if Isla Dawn was to slot in, it wouldn't necessarily be in a face spot, but in terms of like rank on the card, I feel like she could certainly slot in there. And then honorable mention, because he did say 2 to 3, I'm going to go with a bit of a dark horse and say Ava Rain. We haven't seen a whole heck of a lot of her lately, especially after she joined the Schism faction. But we have, we've seen some more of Joe Gacy. We haven't seen Dyad quite as often. I just want to call them Grizzled Young Vets, man. We haven't seen them quite as often either. But with Ava Rain, The Rock's daughter, at the helm, or at least forefront of a faction, and they haven't done anything really with it yet. Basically that's a ticking time bomb right there before that goes off. And I feel like they're probably going to wind up pushing her. I don't want to steal, any thunder from Cameron Grimes, but I feel like they're probably going to wind up pushing her to the moon if she shows them that she has the chops to do so. Why wouldn't you? So that's kind of my four: Cora Jade, Kiana James, Isla Dawn, Ava Rain.
All right. There were other matches on this show. I'm almost sure of it. There were five, and most of them were brief. Wesley, Odyssey Jones, Ike Manjiro, Lyra, Valkyria, and Duke Hudson all won matches on this show. That's right. Jiro won a match against Javier Bernal. That was the resistible force against the movable object because they both always lose, and somebody had to win. And it was Jiro.
As it should have been.
Yeah, I mean, Ike Manjiro. He's Ike Manjiro, folks. With the Wesley situation, it seems like they're going toward a triple threat there. Almost to the point where this coming show could be all triple threats. And I can see how a show run by Shawn Michaels could be all triple threats because he shined quite a bit in them. I don't want that to be the case, but it seems like with the two tag team situations and Wesley, Dijak, and Tony D situations, it really could be the way they're going. Odyssey Jones defeats Von Wagner in 255 with a, well, it was called a big splash by Vic, but it was a crossbody. Those are two different moves. Lyra Valkyria, the former Aoife Valkyrie on NXT UK. She is fairly wonderful for me. Beats Amari Miller. If you're a longtime listener, you know that I really, really like Amari Miller, and I want the world for her, and I really wish that it was coming in a little bit faster. But Valkyria beats her with a frog splash at 302. I've never heard Amari Miller on the mic. Maybe she just can't do it. I don't know. But in the ring, she can, so color me confused. Duke Hudson defeats Damon Kemp in 354. That is semi-mentionable because Damon Kemp seemed like he was getting a bit of a push, and he just lost to Duke Hudson, who has lost multiple matches in under a minute. Nate, you don't have to belabor any of these if you don't want to, but anything on those results?
Let's see. Well, we talked quite a bit about I forgot the matches that you brought up already, so I'm just kind of scrolling through my hits and misses here. Lyra Valkyria, I'm actually really, really impressed with what I saw tonight. This is actually the first time I've seen her wrestle, like, I believe.
Nathan!
I know.
I've seen her a lot. She's great. It's weird because she goes out there, and it seems like they're trying to do this badass thing with her, but she smiles a lot, and she's very cute. So it's just a weird presentation where they want to kind of have it both ways, and maybe they can. It's, you know, Alexa Bliss is Alexa Bliss after all, but we'll see what they can do with Lyra Valkyria. She can certainly work, I'll tell you that.
Oh yeah, no, from what I saw tonight, absolutely. You know, this it was, that match was more or less what I like to call the NXT squash match for, you know, a debuting talent. You know, where, you know, she did get a dominant win in short fashion, but, you know, Mari Miller was still able to get some of her stuff in, you know, at the same time, which I'm always a fan of. Let's see, Duke Hudson, Damon Kemp, that, I'm just kind of glad to see Damon Kemp back on TV. Like you said, he was in the middle of getting a big, you know, kind of a push here. You know, he's potentially the man to break up Diamond Mine and all that stuff, and had a match with Roderick Strong and then off TV for a while. And now he loses tonight. So what does that really mean for Damon Kemp? I'm kind of hoping it's a bit of you were talking earlier about refreshes. I'm hoping it might be a bit of a refresh for him where he's like, okay, I'm more of a badass than that. Let's, you know, let me kick my game up and become more of a heel, you know, something like along those lines. Other than that, no, not a whole heck of a lot really that I want to talk. Oh, Ike Manjiro's the man. So glad to see him on TV.
He absolutely is. That's true. Yeah, a couple other segments happened. Andre Chase and Thea Hale, love seeing them together. That happened. Drew Gulak is definitely messing with things with Drew, with Duke Hudson. Wendy Chu, she's a real sore loser. She wants to fight against bullying, which is weird because she is the biggest bully character on the roster right now.
But she only does it when people deserve it.
Right. Yeah. You know who also says that? Bullies. Yeah. They're trying hard to backtrack with her, but she's literally just giving voice to bullies by saying, hey, this is what we believe. There's work to be done here. If they're going to backtrack, I would have said, actually, my two cents here would have been to just ignore what she's done. What happened a couple of weeks ago where she was crying after the match, just have her go through a soul searching and a change of character. Don't bring this up because, like, literally she acted like the bigger bad guy in every feud she was in, all of them. So yeah, maybe just have your baby face act good. I don't know. That is our show. That is December 13th.
Hold on. Before
2022.
Before we end the show, we have somebody else in the caller queue.
No, we do not. We do. Oh, they would show up seconds before I'm about to sign off. 312. This actually might be Sean.
It's Darrell.
Yeah.
It's Darrell.
I forgot to press one. I thought I did. I pressed seven. That's not one. It looks like one, but it. Yeah, my bad. Sorry about that.
Yeah, there are lines in both of those numbers. I can see what would have happened.
You don't get off the hook about that Nikita slander. You don't get off the hook.
I want to be off the hook. She's garbage. Garbage, and I will say that 1,000 times.
No, I want to start there because it's quick and easy. Ronda Rousey has the same problem as Nikita Lyons. When you try to mix mixed martial arts into your wrestling, it could go really well, like Shayna Baszler or Ken Shamrock or various other people, Aleister Black, you know, Malakai Black now. But it could go terribly wrong too. You know, it could go. Also, Nikita Lyons is a lot bigger than most of the competition, so she's disadvantaged either way you slice it. Not making excuses, but I'm willing to give her a chance and hope that she meets in the middle. I think that we, you know, we like Zoe Stark is the anti Nikita Lyons, right?
Sure.
Would you say?
I mean, yeah, she's good. Yeah, I mean,
they have two completely different qualities. Like, they're both on opposite ends of their qualities.
Sure. My issue with Nikita Lyons, and there are several, because she's not good at, like, literally any aspect of being a pro wrestler. But the worst for me is that they present her like she's this super powerhouse badass, always struggles with power moves. Her overhead suplexes are weak and look like they require tons of effort, which is like the very bare minimum is what I would expect her to be good at, but she's not.
And that's the problem. Like I think her presentation her presentation in moveset and in gimmick when it comes to executing who she is. Ronda Rousey does things really well. She's horrible on the mic, but she can oddly talk though. She can. Like if you catch her, she doesn't have a wrestler cadence, which is great. And she could sell like on Ricochet and Dolph Ziggler levels. Like if you hit her, it looks like you killed her. When she takes bumps outside of the ring,
you know, she takes them as good as anyone ever has in the business. But the in-between, and she does a lot of talking to the crowd, but the in-between is just so bad. Like, the only thing you can trust her to do is execute a body slam, you know. But I think Nikita's fine, and they're going to – this is the real test of NXT. I think she is. If they can get her over and get her to work, then NXT as an overall product works. If they can't, I'd be kind of prone to say it doesn't work. Because either you got it or you don't, you know, think she has it. I think they could give it to her and teach it to her, but I think she has it. But well, forget about Nikita. She's there to stay, whether you like it or
I'm
not.
I'm trying.
We tried, but then we let you on the show.
Where's Gable Steveson? Where's Gable Steveson? Speaking of people who, like, Nikita is at least there. She has some personality that we can see and other qualities. Where's Gable Steveson? Like, that's a legitimate question.
That is actually a great question.
I remember reading something recently about them not being super impressed with his, with what he was doing. They didn't. For some reason, I was thinking they'd released him.
Released him.
As I was like thinking about it, I'm like, no, that's definitely not the case.
Yeah, he was just on the SmackDown show, but like, isn't Damon Kemp, like, why isn't he doing things with Damon Kemp? What's the reason for him not doing things with Damon Kemp? Because that's
I think the best reason is once you put them together, you can't take them apart. It's really, really hard to. I don't think
brothers,
they should
right?
acknowledge. That familial relationship until they're ready to make it a long-term thing. I'm always in favor of somebody trying to make a name first. And if it works, great. And if not, then fall back on the existing relationships you have. I'm in favor of them not rushing to that.
Because Gable stinks. That's what you want to say.
Because Gable what?
Because he stinks. He's terrible.
I don't know. I haven't actually seen a Gable Steveson match. No.
I would prefer to. You can always split them up. I mean, you could split up Hearts. You could split up, you know, Gable Steveson and Damon Kemp. Like you can split them up. You just have one beat the other's ass, and that's it. They're done talking. You know, but they're brothers, so you know it'll always. I think you could do it, but he must really be bad if they haven't used him at all. Or maybe Nikita Lyons also is constantly injured. That's also really bad for her too. Like, she has a lot of really negative things against her that don't necessarily have to do with her work ethic or trying. But in asking the real question about Gable Steveson, I'm just trying to bring up, like, here's a guy they actually brought out and put on the main roster and showcased, you know, in front of us. Well, not showcased, but you know what I mean. And we haven't even seen anything of him. And I'm just wondering if, I just want to know where, like, if we can get Gable Steveson in there, then maybe we could move Damon Kemp up because I saw his work tonight. I mean, this is my first time seeing it, but what do you think about his, even though he lost, what do you think about his overall work? Like, what do you think, I know you talked about him having a push, but where do you see him?
Well, Damon isn't much of a talker yet. They've given him a lot of talk segments that are non-live. They don't like to give him a live mic very often. They usually just have him do the backstage stuff, and that has improved a lot. And in the ring, I think he's improved quite a bit. And he was kind of there in the ring right away. He's got a pretty good foundation and he's already getting quite a bit better there. And the mic is where he had the most to go, the most distance to cover. With Gable Steveson, I think it probably has more to do with the fact that this is potentially a big player for them, and they might not want to rush somebody to TV that they want to use on a high level, and they might not want to show that person not being very good. And they've done that in NXT where they've just skipped people's entire NXT runs and just did it mostly off TV and then rushed it to the – or not rushed it, but brought it to the main roster. And I think about a lot of characters that they've done that in the past with that had the – like take Kane. You couldn't do Kane on NXT and then also bring him to the main roster and have that be a big deal. So if you're going to do this great big main roster reveal of a new character that the world has literally never seen before, then you can't show everybody that person's development on NXT. So I don't know for sure that's what's happening with Gable Stevenson, but given how much they have invested in that particular worker, that is what I believe could easily be happening with him.
I'm almost wondering if it's like a Mark Henry type situation where, you know, they hired him and he doesn't have the, like, he's not picking it up as fast as they hoped.
Right.
You know, and now they're kind of having to do the training, but to your point, like, I think you're probably on the right track. You know, how would it have looked though if Kurt Angle debuted in developmental, you know, on TV, and then, you know, so I think you're kind of on the right track there.
Now, let's take a second. Let's just take this real moment and just realize who we compared him to. Rightfully to Kurt Angle because of the Olympic medal and stuff, but to Kane also. Two legends. Now. I think he needs an NXT run. I don't think he can't be that good. He can't be Kurt Angle. They would have been shoving him down our throats already, you know?
Yeah. Nobody.
They couldn't wait to get Kurt Angle on TV.
It's not about his ability. It's about the fact that he's, you know, he's an Olympic athlete and, you know, Olympic gold medalist, and, you know, they want to capitalize on that. So they basically want to be able to just have him debut and have him be as good as Kurt Angle. You know, if you know, like Kelly was saying, if they were have him have an NXT run and we saw him, you know, learn and, you know, we saw him, you know, botch a whole bunch of moves and all this stuff, we're not going to buy into him nearly as much on the main roster, you know, once they finally do debut him as that character that they envisioned him as in the first place, if that makes sense.
So where did you see I guess that's as far as we can go with him because we haven't seen anything of him. So I can't ask you where his ceiling is or where his floor is if we have no context at all. I'll just get to Breaker and I'll leave it at Breaker. I want to talk about Bron Breakker a little bit. I also found his run stale. And like you guys, one of you guys said earlier, he's got this 90s throwback, you know, like he would have been a great champion then with Scott Norton and, you know, stuff like that. But, you know, wrestling guys like that. But he's so stuck in between gimmicks, it just doesn't help him at all. I like him as a regular person, but he seems more like Bully Ray, and he seems less, even though I think he is more of himself than he is gimmick, he just seems more like a gimmick than he is himself on television, if that makes sense. Do you guys think he should have dropped the title earlier, like to JD? I think he should have dropped it to JD McDonough. What do you guys think?
I'm torn there. Like, I think that NXT TV would be more interesting with JD or another heel on top right now than it would be with him on top, which is consistently a bummer because his run is not much. But I feel like their approach is that if Braun's not ready, we might as well still keep promoting him as the champion on NXT. So we're acknowledging that he's a big deal, even if we're not ready to move him up. I think that he's become a genuine problem for them to figure out what to do with, because it's like they have this unbeatable champion on NXT that I genuinely don't think is anywhere near ready for the main roster. I just don't think that there's enough nuance, enough cool factor.
You don't think he's a good enough talker to do segments? Like, he couldn't go up against Miz?
Miz?
No.
I think that he would be embarrassed.
He'd get eaten alive.
No.
I don't think Miz could either eat you or not. Like, he lets people do what they need to do. He won't just destroy him if that's not the goal. It's not John Cena, you know. Like, but I know what you guys mean. I think, I mean, in terms of just someone he could beat up, someone he can get over with, and then face Ciampa in the interim, because, you know, last time we seen Ciampa, he was with the Miz. So, you know, just going back to that familiar place with those two guys, and just letting Miz, you know, Miz get over on the mic, you know, as he will, but then, you know, Bron Breakker gets him a little bit on the mic, and then gets back at him in the ring, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there, some comedy segments. You don't think he could even carry his own with Miz?
I don't. But I know that Miz is very giving, and he would allow Braun his space. I just don't particularly trust Braun to make the segment work on the main roster. I'm trying not to be too overly mean here, but I just don't see him there carrying either side of a feud and it really popping. I just think that...
What if he's heel? Because I think he's looking for a heel run. I think that's where he really is going to shine.
I agree wholeheartedly. I've said on this show before that you could bring him up as a heel now, but if you want to bring him up as a babyface, there is a shitload of work to do. But yes, if they bring him up as a heel, and then he can even do his yelling shtick if he wants to a little bit. But at any rate, if he's up there, if he's a heel, a bully who doesn't want you to sit at the cool table, I think he's perfect. I think you could bring him up right now and do that. And so so he's not tangling with guys like The Miz. He's just picking on guys like Ricochet. That would work for me 100%.
Yeah, I was going to say Ricochet. Actually, he's the go-to because he can't do anything on the mic.
Yep.
And, you know, but he's great in the ring. Speaking of guys who are great in the ring but not good on the mic, another guy I want to bring up, I know you guys like Mello Hayes, but I think he has a lot of work to do in terms of just live presence. I think if it's not, and I said it before, if it's not written down for him, he'll get eaten up. Like, he could never, and I mean never, go up against the Miz the way he is now. I think a Trick Williams would do a lot better because he's already comedic relief and he's already catching stray bullets anyway. So you can throw him in there and it doesn't matter what he does or say, he's already there to be destroyed. So he'll kind of like a Damian Sandow, if you will. He's like a Damian Sandow.
Sure.
So who do you give more, who do you think's more in line to be star on the main roster? At their best, not just now, whether it be babyface or heel, Carmelo Hayes or Bron Breakker?
Carmelo. Sorry, that's
Hayes.
Not close. That's
Hayes
not close
all day.
Damn.
I don't think that's a close call. I think that Bron could find his way if cast correctly. I'm just going to put this in the simplest way I can. I think that Melo is probably just way, way smarter than Bron Breakker. And I think that will probably, it's just facts. He just is. I think he's probably just a smarter dude.
I don't think he's smarter on a mic. I don't think he's quick-witted. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's better. I don't. I think if you put them on a mic head-to-head, I think he gets shredded. I mean, with that segment,
Sean, I think you're on drugs.
No, no, never done drugs in my life. Mello's stuff is always.
I think you need drugs.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I like his barbershop segments and stuff like that. I think every segment he's in, he's good. I just think that it's so mapped out for him. Whereas when I see Bron, it doesn't have to be nearly as mapped out for him. In the ring, yeah, I got Hayes above, easily above Breakker. You know, I think that's a no brainer. But I really don't see Hayes. And when he has Twitter beefs with people, he could sit there all day and do that. You know, he could sit there all day and come up with the tweet. I don't think he'd last a second on the main roster if you just put a mic in his hand. I think he's another Ricochet.
Oh, God, I don't think that. I could not agree less.
I'm with Kelly on that.
I think he's giving you the razzle-dazzle. I think you guys fell for the sizzle, you know, but the
Ricochet never gave me the razzle-dazzle. Let me put it that way. Like, I love him in the ring, but I never thought for one second that Ricochet could hang on the mic. Like, never.
I think Carmelo Hayes is kind of fooling you guys with the razzle-dazzle.
Well, then let him continue to do so, because because I think he might be able to do so. I'm a big believer in him, and I think that he will. I don't know. I don't know that he's going to go there and have the Chris Jericho debut where he gets to hang with The Rock in a talk segment, but I think that he could have a big first night there. But at any rate, I think I will end the show here, because I was going to do so a while ago, but I didn't know you were here.
Sorry about that.
It actually worked out. I love having you on the show because we have these spirited conversations, and it's always a great time. And I was going to take Nate to the woodshed afterwards and be like, if I'm trying to end the show, just freaking let me. But it worked out.
I'm surprised he did that. I'm glad he did. It's been a while. Go MMA Torch. Everybody go to MMATorch.com. I'm sorry I've been away, but I've got a new baby daughter. She wasn't screaming in the back, so that's great. But I'll try to be on next week, and you guys have a great night. Talk to you soon.
Congratulations. I didn't know.
Congrats, man.
I got some young cats here, but they're not too hard to take care of. So
got COVID.
The girls are 18 and 15. They're not they don't scream much. Actually, that's not true. The 15-year-old screams kind of a lot.
You're making it sound terrible for me. That's not what I want to hear.
I'll tell you this. The 18-year-old has been awesome her entire life. So your chances are 1 out of 2, my man.
Okay, I got one, so let's see.
All right. So good luck. Hope you pulled the right pull tab. I'm Kelly Wells, and you can find me on social media at Spooky Milk or SpookyMilk.games, Nate.
At Nate Lindberg on Twitter, I do the NXT hits and misses, so check them out when I drop them shortly after NXT goes off the air.
All right. Cheers, folks, and we will see you in 7. Cool.